Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 7th, 2016. Elder John Melke. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I invite you once again to listen to the reading of the gospel. This time I'm going to read it from a different translation from the Wartburg Project. That is a group of Lutheran scholars, of pastors and professors who have worked on the new translation of the Bible. The New Testament has been completed but not yet published, and they're currently working on the translation for the Old Testament. Listen to their words, their inspired words from Luke chapter 9. About 8 days after he said these words, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothing became dazzling white. Just then, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They appeared in glory and were talking about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were weighed down with sleep, but when they were completely awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not realize what he was saying. While he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were afraid as they went into the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, they found Jesus alone. They kept this secret and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow friends. About 15 years ago, Carla and I took Sam and Ben to visit the Black Hills. That's a long trip to take. Even if we were living in southwestern Minnesota, it was still a long trip from there to get to the Black Hills. Well, you can realize what two young boys were thinking of as we're making the trip. Are we there yet? How long is it going to take before we get there? And then later on, when we make trips to Michigan, Josiah does the same thing on a long trip to Michigan to see my family. Are we there yet? How long is it going to take before we get there? You know that once you get there, you're pretty excited. You're excited because it's been a long trip, the kids have been anxious, you've refueled your body and your tank and your car, and then you're just so happy to be there, you just shout out, "It's good to finally be here." Thank the Lord that he brought us safely to this place. Were you thinking about that when you came here for worship? As you prepared your week, knowing you're going to dedicate at least 1 hour worship, did you think the same thing about worship? It's good to finally be here, to gather around so many Christians, perhaps the most number of Christians you're with the entire week, just for this 1 hour of public worship. It's good for us to be here. That's exactly what Peter, John, and James experienced on that holy mountain, that Mount of Transfiguration. It's good for them to be there too. They get to see the glory of Jesus, and they get to hear God's word. Again from our text, about 8 days after he said these words, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became dazzling white. Matthew and Mark use the word transfigured to describe this event. That's a special word. It means a complete change in appearance. Jesus changed dramatically in his appearance. He became dazzling white, or as the other translation talked about, he was this bright as lightning. His appearance changed. He was in full splendor. They had a magnificent view of the Lord. It was like they were in heaven already, seeing the beauty of the Lord. It's no wonder that they were amazed when they said, "It's good for us to be here," just to stand back in awe and see Jesus in all his glory. Just then, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with Jesus. A couple questions probably come to mind. Why Moses and why Elijah? Why these two great prophets of the Old Testament? Well, maybe that's the answer. We don't really know why, but we know that they were two great men of the Old Testament. We heard about how Moses' face was radiant as he was in the presence of the Lord and received the tablets of the Ten Commandments. We know Elijah was able to complete a lot of miracles, maybe the most miracles of any prophet in the Old Testament, based on the skills the Lord gave him, the ability to do those miracles. But really, maybe it doesn't matter who was there with Jesus, but what they were talking about. They appeared in glory and were talking about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Both of these men were talking to Jesus about his upcoming suffering and death and resurrection. Maybe who better to talk about that than these two men, one who had died and was buried by the Lord, and the other who had been taken in a whirlwind of fire to heaven, alive. In some way, the Lord, in a miraculous way, brought these two men together on that mountain. We don't even know where the mountain was located, but a mountain where they were there with Jesus, talking about his death and his resurrection, preparing Jesus for an event that was about to come to pass, an event that was going to bring about some drastic change for the world. Who better to talk about that than these two men, Moses and Elijah, men who were able to tell the Lord, yes, there is death, but yes, there's also rising again, and you have been made the perfect sacrifice to take care of God's demands, to take care of sin, and they prepared Jesus for that great event to come. Transfiguration was for Jesus, but also for those disciples too. Remember, these are the disciples who had been with Jesus for some time now, and they had been trying to dissuade Jesus from following through on his efforts to commit suffering and death and a resurrection. They didn't want to see this Messiah, their master teacher, die at the hands of his enemies. They didn't want to hear this foolish talk in their own foolish minds. They needed to hear what was going on at that holy mountain. They needed to be comforted to know that Jesus was coming to suffer and to die, to take away the sins of the world, to assure them that Jesus was not coming to suffer other than voluntarily, of his own free will, to meet the demands that God expected of him for the world. We need to see the transfiguration too. We're only a few days from the beginning of the Lenten season. What are we going to see? We're going to see Jesus spit on, mocked, whipped over and over again, crown of thorns pushed into his bloody skull, laughed at until he died. We need to have this transfiguration to see the glory of Jesus as well, to understand that he was in a glorified state there, and he would go through some suffering and death, but then he would rise again to assure us that all our sins are gone. Maybe that's why Peter responded the way he did. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not realize what he was saying. Peter wanted the glory to last. I guess we can't blame him as he saw that dazzling white of the Lord and heard the booming voice of God from heaven speak those words. He wanted it to last. I guess that's no different than our vacations. For the most part, we want them to last. We don't want to go back to the grind of school or work. We want those vacations to last because we enjoy those times for relaxation and rest. But Peter had a flawed thinking. You see, Peter wanted the glory to last because Peter didn't want to see Jesus go through the suffering. Peter didn't realize that someone had to come down from the mountain to suffer. Peter didn't realize that he too would have to come down that mountain and have to suffer too at the hands of his enemies, but not as severe as Jesus, of course. We need to realize that we have to come down from that glorious mountain as well with Jesus and suffer as well, don't we? We may be the ones chosen by the Lord to help take care of someone who is suffering, to take care of their needs, to help them during their time of suicidal thoughts or some terminal illness or disease. The Lord is asking us to come from that mount of glory to face the reality of life, and that involves some suffering too. So Jesus came down from that mountain. He came down from that mountain of glory in order that he might suffer. I know we hear this often, but maybe we don't always grasp the wonderful story of that good news. Imagine what Jesus did. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he took on human flesh. You know what that means, right? He became like us, though he was without sin. And he lived a perfect life in place of the world who cannot do that on their own. And as he's living that perfect life, he knows that he's going to be convicted of crimes and sins he did not commit. But he was nonetheless willing to go through that. He was willing to take our sins on his account, charged to his account, and to be declared guilty by his own Father in heaven. Though he was completely innocent of anything wrong, he would transfer those great sins of ours and the rest of the world's onto his own body, and he would die a gruesome death on the cross of crucifixion for the world. That's why Jesus came down from the mountain of glory. We see the glory, but we know he had to come down that mountain of glory to suffer for us and for the rest of the world. And as he did that for us, we know it's good for us to be here to see the glory of God, to know that while he would go and suffer a gruesome death, he would also rise victoriously from the grave so that all of our sins have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And we have free and full forgiveness in Christ and the gift of heaven by faith. It's good for us to be here, to see the glory of Jesus. It's also good for us to be here to hear God's word. I don't know if you ever watched the show CSI. They've come out with all kinds of different ones, CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI Las Vegas, CSI Wisconsin Rapids, or maybe not yet, but crime scene investigation, right? Well, when that show came out, it was kind of unique because that team of experts, those inspectors of crime, they were not so much interested in the witnesses' accounts. They were willing to look at the evidence and the evidence alone to justify their conviction of a crime. Early on in the season of the CSI show, when it first came out, the head investigator had said something to this effect: "I don't trust witnesses. Their memory is hazy sometimes. I rather trust the evidence." Are there times when we might think the same thing about this transfiguration story? I wish I was an eyewitness with Peter, John, and James. You might even have heard someone say, "I don't even believe that scripture story unless I actually see it with my own eyes that it actually happened." Well, Peter had something to say about that in one of his epistles. I'll paraphrase it, but he basically said, "I was an eyewitness to that scene of the transfiguration." Yeah, that's kind of neat, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the evidence provided in God's word. Peter said it was better to be one who was relying on the evidence of the scriptures than to simply be an eyewitness to what took place. That's why I think the Lord gave us these words spoken there on that holy mountain. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Did you notice the close relationship that the Father has with his son? A creed has been created centuries ago to define the fact that God the Father and God the Son are equal, co-equal. God the Father is not inferior to the Son. Father's not superior to the Son. They're equal. Co-equal in majesty and glory and honor. And Jesus was chosen by his Father to be the sacrificial lamb, because that's the demand God had to save the world from its sins. So God the Father says on that holy mountain, "Listen to him." Literally, God says, "Keep on listening to him. Listen to him over and over again." Those disciples needed to hear that from the Father, that booming voice from heaven in the cloud. Keep on listening to Jesus. Keep on listening to your master teacher as he talks about his suffering and death and resurrection, because you may try to dissuade him from doing so, but he has to do it for saving the world. Keep on listening to him. Don't walk away from him. Keep up the word properly spoken by Jesus. Keep on listening to that word so you know how to deal with it in the future. Those are timely words for us too, aren't they? Listen to Jesus. Pay close attention to everything he says. Now, I'm just like you. I don't really Twitter, but I'm on Facebook. For those of you who Twitter, you know it's kind of fun at times. You get to see what's going on around the world, what's going on around your friends. It takes up a lot of your time. But do you realize how much more time you could be spending with God and his word? Ouch, that hits me too, doesn't it? The Lord says pay close attention to his word. Because the Lord says he's going to take away someone who loved us and they are no longer with us because they've died and gone to heaven. The Lord says he's going to give us a sickness that we might wish we were dead. The Lord gives us pains and trials and tribulations of all kinds of sorts. The Lord says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. He says in his word, rise and go, your faith has made you well. He says in his word, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So pay close attention to the words of Jesus. Make the word of Jesus your daily companion. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 5. But make the words of Jesus your daily companion. As you go about doing that, it doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. But Jesus is going to help you make a big difference when you're in his word. Because it's in his word where you find the assurance the Lord will provide. It's in the Lord's word where we get this comfort. God's plans are to bless us and prosper us. It's only the place where we're going to hear these words. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. Yes, it's good for us to be here, to see the glory of Jesus and to hear God's word. Today is Super Bowl Sunday in our nation. Yeah, I know the teams we want to be in there aren't there. But it's Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to party, we're going to celebrate, we're going to enjoy time with family or friends, perhaps. But isn't today a Super Sunday? Isn't every day a Super Sunday? Because we've had a chance to listen to the word of the Lord. Because we've had a chance to see the glory of God. And because of all that Jesus has accomplished for the world, we know that it's good for us to be here. There's nothing better than that until we get to heaven. Amen.